In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, Peter asks Jesus, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? Jesus' reply was, "No, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. That's a lot of forgiving. This week, our topic, our title is on forgiveness, and it is at the heart of Mackenzie Phillips' problem. Mackenzie Phillips is the main character in the Shack that we have been talking about the last several weeks. And that is the heart of where he's at. That's the center of the movie and the center of what the author and the producers of the movies are getting us to about what is forgiveness. It is the center of our message as followers of Christ as well. Forgiveness is what we are foundationally about, and that is fundamentally what we need. And it is also what we need to be able to do, forgiveness. And we spent the last 6 weeks on this series, and we've covered a lot of topics today, yeah, on forgiveness. But just to review some of the other things that we have talked about, the first week we talked about how God is extremely fond of us. And that quote that they used in the book and the movie we've kind of made as our centerpiece of this series, and we have it posted on the back of it. God is extremely fond of us, and we need to remember that. We need to remember that He is so deeply in love with you and me. And God is in communion with the three persons of the Trinity, and we need to be constantly in communication with Him as well. And that's kind of a funny theme here, this idea of Trinity, that this, the authors of the book have tried so hard to flesh out the understanding of what God in three persons means, and they've done a nice artistic way of showing us that and getting us to broaden our understanding of what the Trinity is. But it's our call to be in communion and communication with God in three persons. God sees us, this is week three, our experiences panoramically against time and against all the other experiences that are going on here. We only get to perceive things in such a limited way. We see them, we're bound by time, and we're bound by space, and we're bound by these cells that we live in, and that blocks our view of the entire reality here because of that limitation. And it's there we need to learn to trust that His perspective is bigger than ours. Week four, we talked about the storms that we face in life, and we are all going to experience storms at some point. Some are going to be big, some are going to be small. But again, we need to trust Him no matter what the storm brings, because there's something always through the storm, beyond the storm, that we can learn to grow. Last week, we talked about judgment and being judgmental and condemning people. And we found out that we're just given a choice when it comes to people that have a different lifestyle, a different set of beliefs, a different faith system than us, ones that seem to be contrary to us. We can easily judge and condemn them. And too often we fall short and we do that. The other side of that is we can completely go the other way and just assume everything that they're doing is all right and be this tolerant people, and whatever truth you want to believe in is okay, and we can affirm everything that they do, and that's kind of a pressure that we have in our society just to do that. Well, whatever goes, goes. That's your freedom to do that. So we have this extreme here about condemning people that are different or affirming everything they do is different, and we saw that in the middle there is something else, and it's called accepting, and that's what Christ does. Less about judging, less about affirming everything, and accepting and loving people. So those were the first kind of 5 weeks in a nutshell of things that we talked about. But today is about forgiveness, and it's a biggie. And it is the heart of the story here, and it is very difficult for Mac to be able to do, because he has experienced this terrible tragedy as his young daughter was abducted and murdered. And that is this experience that we need to relate to, the tragedy of tragedies when you lose a child so young like that. And Mac's confronted with this question. So you just want him to get away with it. Just let him get away with it. That's the struggle that he's been going through for years here. Or another way, we can say it in a more generalized way, God, you want me to forgive who and for what? We are all going to face those kinds of questions as well, because we have been wronged, maybe not to the extent of what Mackenzie had been confronted with his terrible loss, but we will, no doubt in time, be wronged by people, And we have that question, you want me to forgive them for that? It's tough. A little background on the video here that we're going to see in just a moment. Up to this point, what's kind of weird about the movie, if you've seen it or read the book, God has decided to reveal himself to Mac in regards to Father, one of the three parts of the Trinity, as an African-American woman. That's how he decided to show himself to McKinsey as a black woman, which is different than our general perception of who God the Father would be. But in this instant, in this scene, he's going to take on another form. He's going to reveal himself actually as an older Asian man. And he tells Mac, he said, for what we are going to do this morning, you're going to need a father. So he chose to represent himself as a male figure in this. They've hiked deep into the woods to do something very, very difficult. And he tells Mac, what you're going to do today is going to be very painful. And Mac understands that Papa, Father, wants him to forgive the man who murdered his daughter. He pleads, but Papa tells him, this is the path to your healing. We are on a healing trail to bring closure to this part of your journey, he tells him. And let's watch that scene.
If you just let him get away with it, nobody gets away with anything. Everything bears consequences. What he did was horrible. I'm not asking you to excuse what he did. I'm asking you to trust me to do what's right and to know what's best.
Then what?
Forgiveness doesn't establish your relationship. It's just about letting go of his throat.
So this is the toughest challenge for Mac, to forgive this killer. And, you know, Jesus says, love your enemies in Matthew 5, verse 44. But for Mac, you know, those people that hurt us, the people that hurt him, he wants them to hurt back. We want God to hurt them when they have wronged us. And that's the dilemma that we're at here. But the journey that God has Mac on here is different. And he asks him, you just are going to let him get away with it. It's true. We want justice, and that's an okay thing. We want accountability, and that's all right. And Papa says back to him, nobody gets away with anything. Everything bears consequences. And we see echoes of Scripture here when in that statement we hear Galatians 6 that says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And as we look more closely at this, the question we're going to come up with, whose responsibility is it for justice? Who gets to do that? And so often it's the job that we so want. When we've been wronged, when we've been cheated or hurt, or just put down in so many ways, we have a choice. We have this choosing that we can do. We can demand justice. We can hold out on blame, and we can demand punishment and restitution for the things that are there. Or we can choose another path that leads to forgiveness. You know, last week we talked about this idea of judging, where we have this choice again. We have, you know, not necessarily people that have done us wrong, but people that are different from us. And again, we have that choice. Are we going to judge and condemn? Are we going to completely condone and affirm? Or are we going to accept and love? And similarly, this is the sister to that choice, I think. When we've been wronged, and even in a terrible, terrible way, we have a choice on what we can do. We can hold that grudge, we can hold that hatred, or we can move on a path to forgiveness. That's our choice here, condemn or forgive. And how does that work? How do we do that? Well, it's a form of doing to others as we would have them do to us. It's a matter of reaping what we sow. And I think that choice, to be put in that situation, that choosing, that causes us to look at this bigger picture. And this is a difficult thing to swallow here, but you know, no matter how you have been wronged, no matter how deeply you have been wounded, there is always something bigger going on. In the bigger picture, the wrongs that have been done against us, and the big ones, like stealing or murder or abuse or whatever, those big things that could have been done against us, in the big picture, they carry the same weight as gossiping and as slander and as lust or as speaking falsely against somebody. In eternal reality, we all deserve separation from God. We all want that. In Romans chapter 3 and 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And even when we get that as followers of Christ, even when we talk about our sin nature, our human nature, and those things that cause us to do those sinning kinds of things, even when we get there, there still can be problems that even when we recognize that within ourselves, we want mercy for us. You know, we want mercy for Joel, but for the other guy who's done me wrong, I want them to hurt. I want them to suffer. Isn't that true? I want mercy just for us. Us good church people here. But for someone else, it's a different story. That is our view. That's our perspective. Fortunately, God has a bigger and better view. God is righteous and He judges fairly. He doesn't play favorites and He doesn't overlook sin and evil. Everything does have consequences, as we saw in the video. And no one gets away with anything. But God loves because it's His nature. There's a difference. In His nature, there is love. That means He loves each and every one of us equally. And as 2 Peter 3:39 says, He wants all of us to be restored to Himself. We read this one last week, and it's worth to read again. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understood slowness. Instead, is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Everyone. Everyone here. You and me. And everyone that possibly has hurt you and me. That opening passage that we had, that where I shared the question that Peter gave Jesus regarding how many times should I forgive? 7? And Jesus said, no, a lot more than that. 70 times 7. After that, Jesus tells him this story, and it's about forgiveness. This comes in chapter 18, starting in 23 of Matthew. He says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay that debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all.' Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it,' he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. When the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?' Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." It's pretty strong. It's pretty powerful. But at the heart of that, we need to recognize, too, that we have been forgiven such a great debt. If you have trusted Christ, every ounce of sin that you have has been forgiven. I moved across from the back to the front here to bring it to focus here. That even an ounce of murder, if there is such a thing, even an ounce of slander, even an ounce of lust, even just the smallest amount keeps you from God, keeps you out of relationship. But because of the cross, because of what has been done, that has been removed. You have been forgiven such a tremendous debt. More than millions of dollars is that are in our story. More than that, because the consequences are much bigger than what any money could possibly buy. We have been forgiven so much. So how likewise should we treat those perhaps that hurt us or sinned against us? How should that be? Because how we respond to them that hurt us is how we will be treated in the end. How do we extend that mercy and forgiveness to others when we receive so much mercy and forgiveness from God? How do we do that? How is it that it's done? Three things about forgiveness that I think are important that I want to mention here. First of all, to forgive is commanded. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." It's a commandment. "Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you." We're commanded to do it. That doesn't make it easy. But my point is, it is commanded. And I think forgiveness, the life to live in a forgiving nature, that's much healthier. That's a healthy way of living. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but think inside of a time when you held that grudge and you were not the forgiving person you could be. We've all done it. We've all been there. We've done that. And it's easy to do. But what goodness came from the bitterness then that you had and the hatred that you continue to bear on your heart? And it festers inside of you. It's not healthy. We know that. It bears itself out as we live. It's just not a healthy thing to do. It's easy to do. To hold a grudge is easy to do. To forgive, it's more work. The third thing here in regarding forgiveness, and perhaps this is the most important, in forgiving others will begin to see love. They will begin to see the bigger picture, and perhaps they will begin to see their own need of forgiveness from their Father. Our love and forgiveness brings the bigger picture into focus, even though it is difficult. No matter what wrong has been committed against us, forgiving them is worth their opportunity to connect with God. How do we forgive? Well, that question was asked to Papa by Mac. He says, "I'm not asking you," I really like this line, "I'm not asking you to excuse what he did. It was horrible," he told him. "It was horrible. I'm not asking you to excuse what he did. I'm asking you to trust me to do what is right and to know what is best." He went on to say, "Forgiveness does not establish a relationship. It's just letting go of his throat." I think sometimes when we think about forgiving, you know, when I have been wronged, I got to go be their best friend. I don't think that's what this is about. I think that's a great line. No, just let go of their throat and let us move on. Trust me to do what is right and to know what is best. I think that's what it comes down to. That's the question. Can we trust that God knows best when he asks us to live a person that forgives? Will we believe that he is righteous judge that he says he is? Can we believe that his love is enough for us and that we're just merely playing part of a bigger story? We're playing a role in a big story that we can't see yet. And it's our job, part of our job as we move through that story, to be people that forgive and love. It can be a long process, especially if you've been wounded deeply. But we can start simply by saying it. There's another scene in this movie that slowly follows. It was so hard for him just to get the words out. He's in tears. Papa's holding him. And he says, "I forgive him." And it was so hard to get that out. And he repeated it over and over again. It's a start just to say it. Are the words enough? No, but it is a start. They can be the beginning of a choice to let go and to move forward with God in letting go of that person's throat. And we know that in that process, as long and as difficult as it may be, God will be with us. We're not in this alone. As deeply as we could have been hurt or have been hurt or will be hurt, we have a promise from God that he will be with us. Yeah, he commands us to forgive, but he promises that he will be with us. I want to take just a minute here, and I want to allow the Spirit to work a little bit as we have tried to use the word forgive and forgiveness a lot here, and I want that to sink in your souls, and I really want the Spirit to work on you a little bit about what that means for you right now. There's some colored pieces of paper in front of you, and I want you to pick one out. If you can't find one, hold your hand up, and we'll move some around. They should be laying around here. Look about that size, and they're stuck in there. And grab a pencil if you can get something to write with, too. If you've got one. If you need a pencil or something, Brent's got a bowl of pencils back there. Hold your hand up and he'll get you a pencil if you need one. I'm going to ask you some questions. And I want you to think about, I want you to prayerfully consider how the Spirit may be moving in regards to right now in your position where you're at, this notion of forgiveness, because there's a lot of aspects of forgiveness here, and I want the Spirit to work on you just a little bit here. And I'm going to ask this question. You should be able to answer one of these, if not a lot of them. First question is this: is there someone you need to forgive? Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? Maybe they've wronged you. Maybe something's happened there in your life, but you have held something, a grudge of some kind. This is between you and God. It's to be private. If you don't want to publicly write that name down, maybe just put a letter or a symbol that will remind you of who that person is. Something. If you have someone there that you need to forgive. Is there someone you need to seek their forgiveness? Have you wronged somebody? Is that laying on your heart, or that you need to go talk to someone that you've wronged them and you need to seek their forgiveness? If so, jot something down on your paper that will remind you of who that might be. The third question here is, consider God's offer of forgiveness. This big picture, this cross that we have had in the back of the church for a while, and it's here today, this symbol of forgiveness, of what God did on a cross 2,000 years ago for us, for that forgiveness. I want you to consider that, and I want the Spirit to work on your heart. Perhaps you have never yet received that forgiveness. You've heard the words, but you've never received it. You haven't said, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I've lived my life this whole time, and I realize now that I have yet to say yes to that cross. If that's the case for you and you're ready to take that step on your faith journey, put a symbol down that represents you. Put a symbol down that you are ready to take that step. Or perhaps you're like me, that I have neglected what this cross symbolizes. That I have forgotten the impact of what this forgiveness symbol is all about. You know, this is an odd thing. You know, if Jesus did his work in 2017, it wouldn't be a cross. It wouldn't be a cross. It'd be a gas chamber. It would be an electric chair. It would be the syringes left over from a lethal injection. It would be a firing squad. It'd be a noose. You know, that's odd. But that's how we execute people in the 21st century. That's how it's done. And that would be the symbol we have here. And so think about that. This electric chair that we glorify and we make earrings out of and necklaces out of. That's what we'd have. We'd have an electric chair. We'd have syringes, because that's how he would have been killed today. This is how they killed back then in the first century. That's what this is. It's a killing machine. And I forget that. I forget that. It was a murder. It was an execution. But it was for pardon, and it was for forgiveness. And I have taken that for granted. And I write my name on that piece of paper because I need to understand it more fully, especially this week as we enter Holy Week. And if you're like me, put a symbol down there that represents you, that you have not honored this and lifted it up and remembered the magnitude of what happened there so many years ago. The fourth question I ask you to ponder is this: Is there somebody in your life that you know that needs to know about that forgiveness? Do you know somebody that has perhaps never heard that story? They are far from God. They haven't heard their need yet for forgiveness. They haven't understood that they are so far from God and doomed for a terrible eternity if they don't understand and hear the message of the cross. Is there someone in your life right now that perhaps you know, and they need to hear that story? Just a minute, pray just a little bit about that, and write down on your paper symbols that would represent the people that you know. This is a big cross. It's pretty sturdy. It's pretty rugged. And I'm going to give us a minute to worship in a way. We worship a lot of different ways in this church. We worship in singing. We worship in listening. We worship in laugh. We laugh a lot here. I think that's worship. We're going to worship today. This cross can carry burdens that we have carried for a long time. It is big enough and it is strong enough. Those pieces of paper that you created and you have there, I'm going to allow you to bring that here to the cross. Fold them in half so we don't need to see what's there. And I'm going to allow you to come up front and as an act of worship, allow you to take that and put it to the cross. And we can do that. That's what this cross is for. So, when you're done with that, I'm going to invite you to come down. We'll have some help if you don't want to swing the hammer here a little bit. Tom's going to come down and I'll help you nail if you want to nail. But I'd like to just take this minute and have this as a prayerful time of worship that we can freely take those things that you have. Yourself, someone else, someone you need to forgive, someone that needs perhaps to forgive you. Those are on your paper and I invite you now to come down and put them on the cross. Come.
Thank you.
something kind of nice about that.
Whoops.
That sound. Knew I'd do that. I used to work construction. That's been a few years ago. But something about that sound we need to hear, don't we, in church? We need to hear the hammer and the nail. I love the story about the three nails that were sold this morning, but we need to hear that. We need to understand what this means. And, you know, in some way, as I look at that, kind of made that radio cross look pretty cool, didn't it? All those colors. What an awesome thing that we have that we can be able to do this. I think now we're going to skip that last hymn. Let's just stand for a closing prayer and we'll move along our way. Thank you for this day, and we thank you for a funny book that was written and a movie that was made that allowed us to explore you a little more deeply, allows us to understand you more fully, and challenges us to move a little further down our walk with you. And we are grateful for the creative juices that have flowed that allowed this to happen in this book and movie, The Shack. Lord, I lift up this cross to you today. I think it's an awesome thing that we could come here. An old, rugged, ratty-looking wooden cross and put this colorful reminder of the power that we have that we can bring to you our needs and our concerns and our desire for forgiveness and our desire to be one with you and our desire to be one with our neighbor and our brother and our sister. And that's tough. And we're challenged by that we need to be a people of love and of mercy and of forgiveness. And we hope today that we are encouraged by your Spirit to do just that, to go and be Christ to this world. These things we ask in your most precious name. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.